Josh Kohat, thank you so much for being on The Pulse.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to do it.
Josh, what are the main forces that shape ocean temperatures?
In our area, off the coast of the Mid-Atlantic, from North Carolina up towards Cape Cod, most of it is governed by wind and solar radiation. So we go through the summer-winter cycle, and that has a big impact on the ocean temperatures.
So obviously, the sun heats the water. Then what role does wind play?
Yeah, so one of the things that's very unique about the ocean off our coast is that it goes through, at least in the surface, it goes through the biggest temperature range from summer to winter of anywhere on the planet. So we have large changes where in the summertime we could have temperatures in the 80s, and in the wintertime those temperatures could be in the upper 30s to 40s. And so that's a very big swing. And that's driven mostly, as you say, by how much sun is beating down on the ocean to warm it up. And then the wind acts as a mixer. So it's almost like a wooden spoon when you're mixing something for a recipe in the kitchen. When the wind pipes up, it stirs the ocean and it moves temperatures that are either very cold near the bottom up to the surface or warm temperatures, it'll mix them down. And so the combination of how much sunlight we have and what the winds are doing plays a big role in the temperatures that we might feel when we're at the beach.
Now, when I go online and I check out what the ocean temperature is in Cape May or in Atlantic City or anywhere along the Jersey coast where I might go to the beach, where is that information coming from and how is it measured?
Most of that information is coming from either satellites in space, which are giving maps of temperatures. There's about 8 different times a day when we get a snapshot. And what those satellites are measuring is the amount of infrared energy that's coming out from the ocean.
So nobody is sticking a little temperature gauge into the water.
Some are. That's the other way that we measure. So there are a few ways we can do that. One is with buoys in the ocean. So NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they run a series of buoys that are offshore that report back real-time temperatures of the surface ocean. In addition to that, there are robots that we put in the water called gliders, and they are autonomous, meaning they're on their own. They're not tethered to anything. And they patrol the waters for about 30 days at a time, measuring things like temperature, salinity of the water, and they send that information back to us every 3 to 4 hours.
Now, when I check the temperatures for some beaches near us, for example, Atlantic City and Cape May, they are about 40 miles apart, but the ocean temperatures, there can be a good 6-degree difference. How is that possible?
Yeah, so the one caveat to what we've been talking about in terms of the range of temperature that we see from summer to winter is that it only affects the surface of the ocean. It's just that part of the ocean that the sun's energy penetrates through. What happens below that, which is typically around 50 to 60 feet deep and deeper, that cold winter water stays there, and it stays cold. And that we call the cold pool. And it's sitting there reacting to the local wind. And there's a process called upwelling, where the winds can actually take that cold water that's sitting down deep and move them to the beach. And so you could have a situation where one beach is getting the influence of this cold water and another beach is not.
So it's almost like it depends on who your bartender is in terms of how the mix is going to shake up on your beach.
That's right. Yeah, it has to do with the wind. So when upwelling happens, it's when you have these really nice summertime breezes from the south-southwest. And when you have wind coming from the south-southwest along our coast, because we're on a rotating planet, it actually pushes that warm water that we've been talking about in the summer offshore, away from the beach. As that warm water moves away from the beach, what replaces it is that really cold water from the cold pool.
And if I'm at the beach and I go into the water, is the measurement taken anywhere near where I would swim? I mean, as a swimmer, I won't go out more than, whatever, 30 or 40 feet into the ocean. So are the measurements kind of taken where I, as a person, will experience them?
Most of the satellite measurements will be taken from further out, maybe a mile or two from the beach. There are some new sensors that allow us to get a little bit closer and even into some of the back bays like Barnegat Bay. Delaware Bay is certainly measured. Those measurements aren't right where you're swimming, but with those observations just a little bit further away, we can get a sense of where the cold water is and where it isn't.
But where I stick my toes in to the water is probably going to be a lot warmer even than what I found online because the water is so shallow there.
Well, it depends because what happens is if the wind is blowing strong enough and for a long enough time, that cold water is coming in faster than it can be warmed by the sun. Okay. And when the winds blow just right, that cold water that's sitting down deep comes back and we get a little bit of taste of winter in the middle of July.
As you track ocean temperatures over time, are you seeing a change?
The changes that I've seen personally in my research is looking more at that cold pool, that mass of water that we see near the seafloor that happens during the summer. And what we're seeing over time, and this is over significant time, when the measurements have been made, is that that cold pool is warming a bit and it's also freshening a bit. And so we see that trend that's consistent with what other data sets have shown in other parts of the world as well.
Josh Kohat, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.